And we are so excited that you're here. I mean, the sun's not out, so you might as well be at church. You can't be at the lake, right? You can't, you're like, we're just waiting. We're going to get it fired up here in a minute. Bow your heads with me as we worship the Lord this morning. God, we come before you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that it is by your grace and mercy that we are here. And no matter how we walk in this morning, if we are in a cloud, if we feel defeated, or if we're on top of the world, Lord, you are here. And despite whatever is going on, we still need a Savior. Good, bad, ugly, we need a Savior. And we thank you, Lord, that we can find that in you. You are the one. You are the one. You are the one we worship and praise and give our adoration to, Lord. Be glorified in our worship today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
Give him praise, give him thanks this morning. Yes. Praise you, Lord.
There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over.
I have a home found in your word. I have a smell.
Is with me, and if my God
Sing it out.
Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I God, and even in the midst of troubles, in the midst of hurt, in the midst of pain, Lord, whatever it is, that we would recognize, Lord Jesus, that you are our rock, our source, our strength. We look to you, Lord God, not to circumstances, not to situations, but we look to you. We thank you, Father, for all it is that you're doing. right here in and through your people, in and through us, Lord God, that you would choose to use us just baffles my mind. And God, I thank you for the opportunity, the responsibility, the joy that we get to be a part of. Father, we give you thanks this morning in the mighty name of your Son and your Son alone. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, y'all lift up a shout of praise to the Lord God this morning. Hallelujah. Y'all can go ahead and be seated. We're going to take a quick moment. I want to recognize anybody here who may be a first-time guest. We're going to call you up and make you run around. No, I'm kidding. In your seat back, there's just a little card. If you would, we'd love to have you fill that out. We're not going to bombard you with mail or anything other than we will start asking you if you want to serve here. It's a possibility. No, we just want to tell you thank you. We're glad you came. We're super excited that you chose to be here with us this morning. God is an amazing God, and like I've told you before, God's working and not just here. There's some phenomenal churches in Paris. If you belong to another church, that's powerful. I'm excited that you're here just to visit. If you don't have a church, we would love for you to stay. God, there's so much I want to do. I'm sorry. My mind just went into overdrive. I'm going to slow down. Our guest, if you would, fill out that card. We would greatly love just to be able to tell you thank you for coming today. We are going to take a moment and receive our tithes and offerings if my ushers will go ahead and make their way to the front. Again, guys, and I know Brandon's been talking about it, but another great opportunity that we have. Just the ability to give back to God. Not something that he needs, not something that he even necessarily requires. And yet, it's something that out of the abundance of our hearts, we recognize what I have is not my own. And so, I just want to pray over this and what God would do through it. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give back into your kingdom. We pray that you would use, Lord God, what little, what amount, whatever it is, Lord Jesus, that we have. We recognize it's not ours to use, and it's so much more in your hands. So, Father God, we give back to you just out of a gracious heart of abundance. Even in times of hurt and times of where things seem tight, Lord God, there's still an abundance that overflows from within, and we thank you for that. May your kingdom be multiplied. May your kingdom be glorified through what we do here this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen, amen. I'm going to let them pass those baskets. We've got an announcement video, I believe. I'm going to segue to that, and then I will be right back up. God bless you guys.
Is this thing on? Wee. What's up, silly playlist? Why is going to spin around so fast? Welcome to church. I'm a bunny. Happy Father's Day. Love you, Dad. Hey, guess what? Next week is Baby X. I'm so excited. I can't wait to move. It's so hot outside. Everything's fun. Wee. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on, let me get on. Okay, it's on better. Can I play now? Also, Scott, well, guess what? Next Sunday, St. X students having a fun eraser. We'll have a pool boy place. Horn five. Also, stolen Noah Mayers. For seven. So, swimming drinks, chips, and drink and straw. Oh, whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hot. It's on right now, so guys. I see you later.
Oh, too precious. One other announcement that I want to go ahead and make you guys aware of. I'm super excited. I've heard from a lot of you about when are we going to be joining back together with PNG, doing anything like that, and I'm super excited today to announce to you that Pastor Shannon and I are going to be back here on July 16th. So mark your calendars. PNG is going to be joining us again here for a service. I'll be bringing the word. Don't. But I will say this, like, y'all need to recognize now, y'all have got like 4 or 5 weeks to start working on your response back. Because if they respond back to me and y'all don't, that's just going to look, it's going to look bad. So y'all got to start working on it and interacting. Today I'm super excited. We have a very special treat. I'm excited to say that we have Taylor and Marissa Finley back here from Alaska. Guys, if y'all would, go ahead and come on up here. Oh, and the little one too. This is Taylor and Marissa Finley. For those of you that don't know, it was about a year ago. Gosh, it's been 2 years now. It's 2 years ago. We prayed for and sent Taylor and Marissa Finley down to Alaska. Down to? Up to? I'm going to let them share where it's at. Look, y'all don't get, I'm not there. Anyway, we've been praying for them for 2 years, and I'm super excited. Just this last week, seeing what God is doing in their lives. I know you guys are going to be tremendously blessed. They're going to share about what's going on, and so I just wanted to take a moment. We're going to turn it over to them, and I'm going to pull this up so you guys are right in the spotlight, because I know they really love that. I'm going to turn it over to them, guys, and if you would, just reach your hands out. Just as a sign, we're just solidarity. We're just praying for them. Lord God, I thank you for the Finleys. I thank you for the work that they are doing, Lord Jesus, not just in their family, but even in other families, Lord God, that are joining with them, that are going down, Lord God, and being a part of that mission. Father, we thank you for their work. We thank you for their hand. We thank you for the word of God that is being spread through them and their family. Lord God, let your name continue to be glorified in everything they say and do. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It is great to be back here and visiting our friends and family. That was one of our children. My name is Marissa, and this is Taylor, and we have three kids, Caden, Bristol, and Luke, and we are currently serving in Alaska as missionaries. And if you would have asked me 5 years ago if we would be in Alaska serving as missionaries, I would have told you absolutely not. Our first experience in Alaska was not what we had anticipated. In 2015, Taylor and I were pretty newly married, and we had a one-year-old, which is Caden. He's now 9. And we moved to Alaska to live the Alaskan dream. And that dream ended up being a dry cabin using an outhouse and a broken stove for 3 months. So the struggle was real, right? But like we say, God can take all of our bad decisions and he can bring good things from those. And that's exactly what he did. He called me and Taylor together to himself, and we began a relationship with the Lord that grew tremendously. We just fell in love with the Lord, fell in love with his word, and he opened the doors for us to move back to Texas. And when we moved back, we thought, okay, the first thing we need to do is find a little tiny church to join and begin to serve, begin a life of serving the Lord together. And so we came to CF Paris in 2016, and our faith really just grew from there. And we had amazing mentors that are still here today with us at the church, and it's just been such a blessing and such an amazing journey. So our mission is to reach the Alaskan Native villages with the truth of the gospel and to train and equip believers for life and ministry. So how do we do that, right? So Alaska Village Missions is a ministry that we reach the native villages through village ministry, radio ministry, and through Alaska Bible Institute. The village ministry, we have opportunities to go on mission trips for VBS. We send our staff and even students who attend ABI to preach in the villages. We do one-on-one discipleship, community events, and it's not only a blessing to the village, but a blessing to us to be able to do that. And our radio ministry has really grown in the last year. We turned a little tiny room at ABI into a radio broadcasting room. And Taylor helped do some of the construction on that. And we now broadcast Christian radio throughout Homer. And we're working on getting our station in the villages as of right now. And so that's live from Homer. So that's really exciting. And then Alaska Bible Institute. It is a two-year biblical studies program that walks students through the entire Bible in 2 years. And we have a very heavy focus on discipleship. And so that means every staff member has a student that they mentor for that year or 2 years, 3 years, however long they're at ABI. And we just get to pour into each other. It's not just the mentor doing all of the pouring into. They pour into us just as much. We get students coming in and out of our house all the time, stopping by for a quick meal or a coffee, and it's just been such a fun and amazing experience. ABI is also a tuition-free Bible college, so every student that is accepted is gets to come for free. And that is only possible by having a missionary staff. So that means that every staff member has to raise their own funds. So ways that you can get involved at ABI and Alaska Village Missions is first, of course, prayer. Prayer, we wouldn't have any ministry at all if it wasn't for prayer. Number two is to join us. If you feel like God has been pricking your heart to join missions, come and talk to Amir Taylor, and we would love to get you connected, whether it be for a quick trip, a full-time volunteer, a full-time staff position. We have some amazing opportunities that are currently available. And the third way is by joining our family financially. And you can do that by scanning this QR code or mailing checks, checking the website. And for those of you who already support us, this is a big change. So if you want to take your phone out and take a snapshot of this screen, ABI and AVM has had the incredible opportunity to join Global Outreach. Global Outreach is a ministry that is specifically designed to support missionaries. So many opportunities that we haven't had, we now are able to have. They have 24-hour prayer hotline. They have missionary kids specialists who just connect with our kids and make sure they're okay. They have trauma specialists. And, I mean, that's just the short list, right? So it's been a super big blessing. But that means that everything financially is switching over. So the new QR code, you can scan that and it'll take you right to the website. If you go to the website, you can search for our family by fund number 5786. And that's also important for checks. Checks have to be made out that way as well. So it's a lot of information, a little confusing. Just get with me or Taylor, shoot us a text, a call. Get with me, because he's probably not going to answer the phone. And I can help walk you through the steps and get everything switched over. I'm going to leave you with a little video of a ministry update from the Village Missions in the past year. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you hear me? Awesome. I'm kind of new to the headset thing, so bear with me. No, it's really great to be back here at CF Paris. This is the church that helped me to grow in my faith, but not only that, it's the church that would eventually send me and give me the ability to be able to spread it, me and my wife both. And it's just a great privilege, a great honor. It's kind of emotional, but cowboys don't cry, so don't expect none of that. No. So, well, enough about me. It is Father's Day. So today I want to talk about our Father. Specifically, I want to talk about what He has done for us. So my big idea is that our Father has given us everything we need to be effective and fruitful in our walk with Him. And before we dive into God's Word concerning that subject, I would like to talk about one of my favorite missionary stories. It isn't my story, unfortunately, but if you can put my name on it if you want to. So just replace Brother Andrew with Taylor Finley and make me feel good about myself. So anyways, Brother Andrew, he was a Dutchman. He grew up a non-believer, even though he had believing parents, which would affect him greatly in the long run. But Brother Andrew himself, he grew up a non-believer through World War II, and he was known for causing some mischief. And eventually he would end up joining the military, and he would go on and join a brigade known as the Yellow Hat Brigade. Now, this brigade was known for doing crazy things, for running into battle and seeking death, right? Hence the yellow hat. And so he would run into battle and he would seek death. But one day, Brother Andrew got what he didn't expect. He got shot in the foot. So Brother Andrew, he was kind of upset. He was wearing a yellow hat. He was running into battle, seeking death. But Brother Andrew got shot in the foot. So now he's sitting in a hospital bed, wondering what he's going to do with himself. And the only thing beside him was the Bible that his mother had given him before he went off to war. And so Brother Andrew, simply out of curiosity, picked up this Bible and he started reading God's Word. And through reading God's Word, Brother Andrew would end up coming to faith, end up believing what he was reading, and this would change Brother Andrew forever. Brother Andrew would want to seek God's Word, so he ended up going to England so he can go to Bible school and to learn more deeply what it meant to be a child of God. And on the third year, his last semester, Brother Andrew was given a task, him and a few brothers in Christ. They were given some money from the church or from the school, and they were told to live off this money. But there was a few tricks to this. They couldn't, this money that they gave them was the only money they had. What they couldn't do is they couldn't ask for money, they couldn't work for money, and they couldn't sell anything to get any money. The only thing they could do was pray for money and do acts of service and take donations. And then coming nearing the end of the semester, Brother Andrew and his friends were low on money. And they were like, hey, like, we're going to have to pay back the Bible school. Like, we got to do something. Let's sell some things. And then they were all dwelling on this. Should we? They were praying about it. And this question popped in Brother Andrew's head, which is a question we should ask ourselves all the time. Brother Andrew said, am I going to do things my way or am I going to do things the King's way? That's an important question. So Brother Andrew, he chose to do things the King's way. And what happened with Brother Andrew? Brother Andrew, I don't know if you're familiar with God's smuggler, the man who took the gospel behind the Iron Curtain during Soviet Russia, but this is Brother Andrew. That's what he went on to do. He lived the rest of his life the King's way. Yes, it's amazing, is it not? So, what is the King's way? It's something I think we should all know. And to understand the King's way, we have to see how the King lived. So you have Jesus. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was raised by Mary and Joseph. And eventually he would be baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan. And it says the Holy Spirit fell upon him like a dove. And he would go off into the wilderness. And Jesus would combat Satan with the Word of God. And he would come back and he would do something interesting. He would call fishermen to himself, right? He would say, follow me. And these fishermen would become known as his disciples. And as Marissa said earlier, we focus a lot on intentional discipleship. So this is something that I really hold dear to my heart, what it is to be a disciple. And so Jesus spends an intentional 3 to 5 years, depending on what you believe, 3 to 5 years with these people. And he helped them to grow in the faith. He helped them to understand who he was. He helped them to understand who the Father was. And he just really had a deep relationship with these individuals. And then Jesus would go to the cross for our sake, for their sake. He'd be rose again from the dead, And then Jesus, well, before he ascended to the throne at the right hand of the Father, he would give us the Great Commission. And Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth. You can put that slide up there. Oh, it's already up there. Good job. So it says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you till the end of the day, this age. And so most people get caught up on the go. I've got caught up on the go. The reason I got getting caught up on the go is a good thing. It got me to go, right? It's an important thing. That's an urgent saying, go. He's saying, go, therefore, and make disciples. So Jesus has said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. Go, do it. So it's urgent. But the main verb here is make disciples. So Jesus isn't saying, you know, go baptizing and teaching. That's an outcome of what he's telling us to do. But we're supposed to make disciples. So what's a disciple? It's quite easy, and I think most of us know this, but a disciple is someone who follows Jesus, right? A disciple is someone who learns from Jesus. But the root word disciple means to mimic or to copy Jesus. So in short, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus in order to learn from Jesus. Why? So that they can mimic Jesus, so that they can copy Jesus, become more like Jesus. So the question isn't, should we be disciples? For us who believe, we are disciples. The question isn't, should we make disciples? That's obvious. That's the Great Commission. The question is, are we disciples worth reproducing? Are we? It's a tough question. It's a question we should really wake up every morning dwelling on, and we should go to sleep every night asking ourselves, were we today disciples worth reproducing? Huh? The good thing is that Scripture helps us figure that out. Scripture not only helps us figure it out, but it also points us in the direction we need to go. So if you would, if you'd turn with me or get on your phones or whatever and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'll give you a little bit of context while you're turning there. In the first epistle of Peter, Peter is talking about persecution from outside the church. So he's talking about how Herod and these other guys are just, I don't know if it's Herod, but we won't go there. So anyways, they're persecuting from outside the church. But this epistle from Peter is talking about the inward working of the church and the problems that are inside of it. The second chapter will focus on false teachers and preachers. And then the last chapter will talk about how the day of the Lord is coming and that we should keep ourselves from stumbling. But the first chapter is gold for the believer, because the first chapter tells us what we're supposed to do. Right? So I'm going to read for us 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and this Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For, or because, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I first came to this passage and actually studied it out, I wasn't too happy with myself, to be honest with you. I wasn't increasing in all these ways. Yes, there were some ways that I was focusing a lot on, but there was other ways that I was putting aside. But the reality is that God has made it possible for us to do all these, right? So, let's look at verses 3 and 4. It says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It doesn't say some things. It says all things that pertain to life and godliness. But how has he done this? He's done this through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. There's two things there. One of them is divine power. And the next is this word knowledge. In some of your Bibles, it might say true knowledge. So this divine power, when we think of divine power, we think of the creation of the world. Some of us might think of the flood, right? The destruction of all that was. And then for me, I think when we think of miracles and all these things, I think the greatest display of God's divine power is the changed heart. The fact that God took your heart of stone and he turned it to a heart of flesh. The fact that you were dead in your sin and God made you alive to himself. That is divine power. And what about this? And how has he done this? It says he's done this through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. This word knowledge is the word epinosis. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I know it's spelt that way. So anyways, what the word means, it means an experienced knowledge or a true knowledge of God. Knowledge that we have gained through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Corey spoke about this a few weeks ago in 1 John chapter 2. And he said that he loves this passage when he said, You have been anointed by the Holy One and you know all things. Right? It's a different spelling of the word, but what it's pointing at eventually is this knowledge, this experience knowledge that we have as believers in Christ, a knowledge that has changed us, a knowledge that has made us no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. And being slaves to righteousness, it says that we will be led to sanctification. And that word led is important because led doesn't mean carried. It means you have to follow God to sanctification. And the word sanctification means a dedication to purity and holiness. So this is what God's ultimate goal. 2 Thessalonians says, God's will for you is your sanctification. That's God's will. We are not called for impurity, but in holiness. So this knowledge, he has granted to us precious and very great promises, one of which is also in 1 John chapter 2, Corey, where it says, This is the promise that he's given to you, eternal life. Do we not all hope for that day? Can we not wait? So, I mean, this, don't get me wrong. I like fishing. But heaven's going to be awesome. You know? So, we got many promises from God. And why has he given us these promises? So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. That Romans 6, that slave to sin no more and slave to righteousness passage, right before then it says sin has no dominion over you. That has a lot to do with us being led to sanctification. It doesn't mean we won't sin. It means that sin has no dominion over you. That's right. If we look at Genesis, we see Cain, when God comes up to Cain and he tells Cain, he says, sin's desire is contrary to you and you must rule over it. But Cain didn't stand a chance. Cain was fallen. Cain was not indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but we are. So again, our Father has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need. So what do we do with this? It says we're to grow. Peter's going to point us in the next verse. In verse 5, he tells us that for this reason, we have to make every effort to supplement our faith. And before I get into there, I want to talk about an experience that I had this week. This week, I don't spend too much time at the barber. Most of my friends know this. But this week, I got the experience, 2 trips to the barber shop. Yeah, it was enlightening. No. I asked both of them the same thing. I said, well, what was school like? Did it help you a lot in this career? And they said, yes, school got me my license. But it's what came after school that was important. Because after school, I had to go to workshops. After school, I had to learn my craft. I had to become better at what I do. Right? I think that's any profession, right? Including being a Christian. And that's what Peter's talking about. We've all been hired, right? It says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing, in verse 1. We are equal. Our faith is equal. We are saved. It's getting us to the same place, but we have to grow. We have to go to those workshops, right? We have to become better believers. We have to be disciples worth reproducing. And this is going to point us in that direction. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. So what is virtue? It literally translates to moral excellence, right? Or good works. I think it's safe to say that Christians are supposed to be good works, right? James says, I will show you my faith by my works. Yes. So then it says, it moves on to knowledge. Supplement virtue. These good works supplement it with knowledge. Now, this is a general knowledge, but what Peter's talking about is knowledge of God's word. Right? In Timothy 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and beneficial for teaching, reproof, and correction, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be made complete. So if it completes us, I would say it's pretty important. What Peter has given us here is the essentials. I'm sure there's an exhaustive list of how we need to grow, but right here it's telling us the essentials. So Christians are marked by their works, right? Christians are marked by their understanding of God, their knowledge of God, which stems from this greater experience knowledge of God that we have beforehand. Well, then it goes on to self-control. I got a question. Anybody here ever done the keto diet? So you raise your hand. Everybody? Is anybody here still doing the keto diet? Oh, she got it. You go to her and she'll teach you a little bit about self-control. Right? The rest? Don't come to me. I've tried multiple times. So anyways, off keto. When Paul is speaking to Timothy in the first chapter of 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy that we do not have a spirit of fear, but we have a spirit of power and love and self-control. That's what we have. So, and we struggle. I struggle. Every day. But it's an essential. Peter is laying out the essentials. So self-control moves on to steadfastness. We know that steadfastness also is something that we should strive for. We should persevere. We should seek to endure all things, right? Then he moves on to godliness, to become more godlike. It's safe to say that if we're supposed to follow Christ, to learn from him and mimic Christ, then we're to become more godlike. And then it goes into brotherly affection, or the children of God loving each other. Huh? So it's literally, it's the word Philadelphia, meaning brotherly love. We should love one another. There's no doubt there. And then last but not least, it gets to love. No, there's no doubt in our minds what love means. It's the same love that Romans 5 is talking about when it says God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, right? It's God himself is this type of love, right? We are to love our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. That word as is important because it replaces you with them, right? It takes you out the equation. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love is obvious. Why is all this important? Peter says it's because if these qualities, these essentials are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we want to be effective? Do we want to be a fruitful Christian? Do we want to be a disciple worth reproducing? Yes, we all do. It'd be foolish not to. Foolish not to. Who does not want to know their God more? I know I do. I know Luke does. I've spent plenty of time talking to him about it. I know Ricky does. Me and him come from a similar past. We've been saved. We know. We've been changed. It's important to love. And if people, where I'm from, they don't know me. They don't know my past. So people will come up to me and they'll say, well, Taylor, that's easy for you to say that's your job. And they're right, it is my job. But is our job not to encourage each other to be the best disciple we can possibly be? So Scripture gives us a clear example of what a great disciple is in the story of Stephen. So in Acts 6 and 7, we see that the disciples, they're working their tail off. And they say, is it right for me to have to serve tables or for us to have to serve tables and not devote our time to preach the word of God? And so they pick these men, these great men of God, and one of which is Stephen, to do their work. So Stephen was chosen to serve tables. He wasn't a preacher, right? At least not by vocation, but he was chosen to serve tables. And Stephen, he would go on to get arrested for preaching the gospel to those who didn't agree with it, and he would end up being stoned to death. But before he's stoned to death, it says he looks up into heaven, right? And he sees Jesus Christ at the right hand of God. And then he would die. But what did he do before he died? He asked the Father to forgive those who were stoning him. So I would say that Stephen practiced the essentials. I would say that did Stephen practice virtue? Yes. Good works, moral excellence? I would say so. Did Stephen practice knowledge? If you go and read Acts 7, you'll know for a fact that Stephen practiced knowledge. He gives us a spill from the beginning of Scripture all the way up to his present time. Stephen took knowledge as a very important thing. So was he self-controlled? Most definitely. I don't know anybody who would just stand there and let somebody stone him. No. Sure ain't me. So did he persevere? That's obvious, right? That's the only reason we're reading the story. Is he persevered? Did he become more like God? Did he display godliness? Yes. Brotherly affection? Of course. He was arrested for preaching the gospel to his brothers for their sake. And what about love? The last thing Stephen said was to forgive them. That's a Christian love, a love that you can only gain from the Father. This was obvious. So I think it was pretty obvious that Stephen, when asked, am I going to do things my way or the king's way, Stephen knew the answer. Yeah. Stephen lived the king's way. So I know for me and Marissa, when we decided to go up to Alaska, we really wrestled with this. I didn't want to go to Bible school. Who wants to go to school again? No, definitely not when they're about to be 30. I didn't want to go back. And I said no many times. But then me and Marissa came in. She was like, Taylor, I'm just feeling called to Bible school. Huh? And I was like, now we have to wrestle with it. I had to answer the question. Am I going to live life my way? Or am I going to live life the king's way? Right. So Zach and Lexi McQueen, they very much struggled with coming up to Alaska. And Lexi herself, she just didn't know. And she prayed one day. She said, God, if this is what I'm supposed to do, give me a peace about it. And God gave her the peace. Be careful what you ask for, because now Lexi had to answer the question. Am I going to live life my way or the king's way? What about Pastor Brandon? When he was overseas, and he was sitting there, and he didn't know. He's like, am I serving God on mission for the right reasons? Huh? Pastor Brandon would have to answer the question, am I going to live life my way or the king's way? An answer that would end up bringing him here to us today. What about Corey and Melissa? They came and visited a little church here in Paris, Texas. And they said when they were driving off, they were both crying because they knew that God had called them right here. And they had to answer a question. Am I going to do things my way or the king's way? So as Christians, followers, learners, and that do this in order that we can be able to mimic Christ, I think we get the ultimate example in him himself when he's in the garden right before he's arrested. And he says, Father, if there's any other way, right, take this cup from me. And nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done. So I ask you again, are you a disciple worth reproducing? We should be. So I'd like to encourage everybody, no matter what that answer is, with something that Paul says in Colossians 3, 12 through 17. He says for us to put on, right? Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. for us to bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, right? For indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs together with thankfulness in your hearts towards God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to who? God, your Father, through him. Father God, thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today, giving us this opportunity, Lord, just to worship together, to fellowship with one another, Lord, just to grow closer together as Christians, Lord. I pray, God, that for each and every one of these individuals in this room, not only will they go out that door serving you, Lord, but they'll be going out that word serving you to the best of their abilities, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just fill them with your spirit and press them on, Lord. I pray, God, for all this in your great name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Thank you. I want to invite you guys back up here for just a second. Guys, I'm going to invite our ushers forward. We're going to receive a special offering that's going to go all directly to them. I want to bless them this morning. But as well as we receive that offering, I also want to invite up Zach and Lexi. I know you don't want to either, just as much as Marissa doesn't want to, but they've now been down in Alaska for a year, and so as Taylor's talking about discipling, I'm amazed because this is exactly that. This is boots on the ground action in progress. Zach and Lexi as well are raising funds. They are going to the school at the moment, or Zach's going to the school. And so they're also raising funds to join Taylor on a couple of his mission trips and some that Marissa gets to go on too, but puddle jumping to little places. And so I'd like for all of us to pray for them as we receive this offering. But let's go ahead and do this. I encourage you guys, again, every penny that we give here right now is going to go towards them. Give out of the abundance of your heart. If God's speaking to you to be able to bless them, they've put up the code behind. And listen, please continue. Give monthly. Get involved. Pray for them. Pray for them. Disciplings, it's important. And they've got a hard job. It's not just bears and salmon and moose and caribou. They're walking in darkness up there. There's a lot of it. And so I'm excited about the discipling that they're doing on the ground. God, we thank you for the work that you're doing and for this money that we're going to give to them. Lord God, we pray that it would just abundantly do mighty things, that we would be a part of your mission field, of your discipling, Lord God. It's in your name we pray. As they pass those baskets, again, if y'all would with me, just extend your hands. I want to pray a blessing over both of these families. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord God, that it was a baby couple that walked into a building so many years ago, and yet today I see a man and a woman of God, a couple that is imparting life into children, imparting life into adults, imparting life, sharing your word, Lord God, and I pray that today that they would be uplifted, Lord God, as they spend this month back here home, Father, that in this time that they would be uplifted, regenerated, Lord God, that you would just do a working in their hearts so that when they go back, Father, they're able to just continue to pour out. Father, we thank you for Zach and for Lexi, for the work that they're now doing, for what they're learning up there, Lord God, and how they are being discipled, learning to disciple. Father God, I pray that we too would humbly learn the same thing, Father. Your heart for each and every one of us, God, that you would continue to use them, Father, as they have stepped out
into the mission field, into the unknown. That you would continue to use them in mighty ways, ways that they can't even begin, Lord God. That just as we're even seeing the growth in Taylor and Mr. Father, that even more so, Father, you would begin a mantle on them that's going to create a growth, that's going to pour out into lives. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in and through this church and through your people. Father, again, continue to touch lives the world over. It's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, guys. Y'all give a big hand clap for them once more. Guys, thank y'all. I'm going to go ahead and let y'all sit down. They're going to be here. If y'all want to talk to them, I know they love to talk more in the one-on-one than in the big group setting. It's a little easier. But they'd love to answer questions and just discuss some of the work that they're doing. But, guys, I thank y'all for being a part of lives getting changed even up there. It's sometimes a bit of a disconnect, but what we do here is echoed in eternity. The little role, the little bit that you play here, even the dollar that you give, it's magnified, and it does so much more when God uses it, because now that little dollar is touching a life in Alaska that wasn't ever going to hear. Guys, God is so good. He's so big. He's so powerful, and he's worth your time to lean into, to recognize, are you doing things your way? Are you doing them the King's way? Guys, God bless you all. Y'all have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Again, happy Father's Day to you. God bless.